I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Time for Dr. Kevin Most.
I've got a stomach pain that's low, fungus on my toe, and I need you now.
It's sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. Oh, and that's John DeCoste singing there. John's back from his two-week Iowa stand-up comedy tour. Or not Iowa, Ohio. What am I saying? He's big in Ohio. And he'll be back with us on Wednesday. Kevin Most joins us now from his swanky office. Good morning, Doc. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine. Doing fine. And we have beautiful weather, and it's hard to fathom when you look at the monitors here and you see pictures of the flooding off the displays in the Fox Rivers.
Unbelievable how much water they got up there.
Yeah.
That's just crazy.
And it's a week plus deep here. All right. So before we get the heat and we're going to have a lot of humidity this week, what do you make of this John McCain story?
It's interesting. You know, we've talked about blood clots in the brain in the past, and it's fascinating that they brought this up to talk about it, that they're even being as open as they are. So McCain had a clot removed from his brain, just above the eye here. They had to go in and do surgery. A lot of these now we can go in and go minimally invasive and go in through the leg and go out and get these clots. They probably weren't at a point where they could reach that, so they had to go and do essentially a craniotomy where they open up a portion of the skull and went in to take the clot out. It was in the front of his brain there, so it's in the frontal lobe area. Doesn't affect his speech or activity or any motor. It's actually where we have more emotional aspects of our brain.
What's the great danger there if the clot were to, would it be rupture or block? I guess it wouldn't be rupture, it'd be an aneurysm, right? Well, I mean, what's the danger of this particular clot?
Yeah, you know, any danger with any clot is that it's stopping blood flow to go to where it's supposed to go. So we're not getting areas of the brain that are either getting enough blood flow or it's not getting back to the body quick enough.
So stroke would be the biggest issue.
Correct. Absolutely. A stroke would be the biggest issue. And, you know, when it's already there, it's a question is there a small portion of a stroke that's now going to kill a portion of that brain? You know, a 2-inch clot is pretty good size. I mean, we're talking about a lot of clots in the brain that are very small and still have a big impact. But again, like I said, it's not where the portion of the brain where we have any motor or sensory skills.
There was a point at the end of the James Comey hearing where John McCain asked several questions that were incomprehensible. And this is a guy that is absolutely on his game and is far younger than his 80 years. And is one of the biggest power players in Washington, and it's just not a guy who appeared to be slipping at all. That was, what, 6 weeks ago? Something like that? Is it possible that there could have been, you know, something impactful from that that may have been starting back then, or maybe it was part of this?
Absolutely. I mean, that's actually, I think, what triggered it is, you know, those questions. And then they said, hey, you know what, we need to get you in. And that's what made the doctors go in and start doing the testing to find this. And again, you know, as you know, we're talking about mental status changes there versus somebody that has a seizure or someone that has a motor difficulty and slurred speech. That definitely could have done it. So, definitely, you know, good that they worked it up because, like we said, any clots in the brain can really go on and make things a lot worse.
Trump's medical health came up over the weekend again, kind of as an aside, but there was some video of him walking with Emmanuel Macron in France and stopping several times. And his former biographer, who's known him for a very long time, citing the fact that, you know, he's an older guy now as well, thinks he's not healthy. Now, we know he eats like a 12-year-old, which is a bad combination. We know he's overweight. But also he pointed out, and I guess I hadn't noticed it, and by the way, we also know that he has balance issues. Because he had referenced to Theresa May to hold on to his arm. And when you see him coming down the steps of Air Force One, sometimes it's problematic for him. Listen, I could sympathize with all of that. I'm 56, and with my knees, it's a problem for me. Having said all that, this particular biographer said, you will notice that Trump stops several times now when he's walking even more than a handful of steps. He'll stop and look around or point something out. There was also a moment a week or so ago where he got off Air Force One, the limo for him, the presidential limousine was right in front of him. It's got a big old seal on the side of it. And he turned to the right and walked away. And then they pointed out where the car was, and he came back. Now, listen, he's the president. He could have been deep in thought about something. Things like that happen. But I didn't hear anything outside of the stopping and looking around thing that was new that would be kind of revelatory about a 71-year-old man. I mean, a 71-year-old man with a weight problem, I mean, yeah, I'm not surprised he's probably not feeling great 24 hours a day.
Yeah, and like we talked last week about balance, you know, this is something that affects a lot of people. So maybe a little bit of that as well. But let's go back to McCain just really quickly for a second, because I want to make sure that we're clear that we don't know where this clot was taken from. So the clot, you know, we know the portion of the brain, but we can get clots in our brain from being struck in the head, from falling. So, you know, was this a clot that was not deep into the brain? I'm not sure. We don't know that. But that's the conversation is that the clot was removed from that portion. So whether it was in the brain or just outside the brain is still unclear.
Yeah, and allow me to be clear. I don't want Trump to be president, but I don't want him to be sick and in you know, a death's
ill,
door.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
Yep.
Doc, I hear a lot of dehydration blamed for a lot of things. Anything that where you're losing balance or you're winded or you're tired or you feel weak, and I hear a lot of people say, well, I'm just dehydrated. I just need more water.
Yeah, very possible, especially this time of the year. We'll touch on that. But, I mean, dehydration, very key, because your body has to make reactions when they're dehydrated to try to protect different parts of the body. And when it does that, it's going to try to keep its fluid as much on the inside as it can, and we don't get as much to the sensory portions of our feet that we need. So definitely dehydration can cause it.
All right, let's go backwards here for a second. Heat indexes. We hear heat index is 100. Heat index is 110. What's a heat index? How we feel?
No, not it's the actual the temperature that you feel. So it feels like, even though it's only 90 something, it feels like it's 100 plus. And the reason because that, especially here in Chicago, is it comes down to the relative humidity. Because what we need is we need dry heat in order to for our cooling system to work. So when we get humidity up very high, you know that, right? You go out and you work out, and it's a low humidity day, and your shirt gets sweat. You sweat into your shirt. That shirt dries out very quickly. You come on a relative humidity day where it's 60, 70, 80%. That shirt stays soaked because that water is not evaporating into the atmosphere. And when that happens, we're not cooling as well.
And we have a very humid week this week. Well, explain the basics of sweating to us. Sweating isn't just something your nasty cousin does. Sweating is something we all do because the body needs it, right?
Correct. You know, when we talk about temperature ranges, the body's amazing if you really think about it. We keep our body temperature within about 3 or 4 degrees, regardless of whether it's 20 degrees out or 100 degrees out. So we talked in the winter about what we do to keep what our body does to keep warm. We do the exact same thing in the summer, except the opposite, essentially. What we have is we have a cooling system, and the body will sweat when it gets too hot. It's going to maintain that temperature between, say, 97.5 and, you know, close to 100. That's our normal body temperature range. So what the body's going to say is, you know what, I'm creeping up too high. Time for me to cool down. I'm going to produce sweat. So we get sweat, air blows over that, and that dissipates heat. So very important. Sweating is actually helping us keep our body temperature where it needs to be to keep our brain and kidney and heart functioning.
Yeah, sweating's healthy.
It is healthy.
I don't care how clammy I am when you hug me. Sweating's healthy.
My dad always said, do something to sweat every day. That's what he always says.
I think that's a good rule of life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Doc, with this week, with the humidity, and we saw some of this over the past few days as well, when you get humidity in the 80 and 90% range,
yep,
that's where it's a big problem, I would think.
Right, because, you know, that sweat is not going to evaporate. And when that sweat doesn't evaporate, then your body temperature continues to rise. So that's the biggest concern, is we want to make sure stay in cool environments, stay in drier environments so that the sweat can actually evaporate and cool your body and keep your temperature where it's supposed to be.
Let's do traffic here, then we'll come back, talk about heat exhaustion, heat stroke, talk about why you should take the rest of the week off and just stay in a dark room. Dr. Kevin Mo, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. We go back to Dr. Mo's now. Hey, our friend Kurt Byram doing a great job on his European tour.
Yeah, have you had a chance to catch up with him?
Yeah, he was on with us last week before I had a couple days off. And I just watched him call the Scottish Open this week. He's doing great stuff. Did you say our other pal Chris Smith, PGA Tour professional Chris Smith, went over?
Chris is actually there playing with his dad and his brothers. They just came back on Saturday evening. So
what a cool trip.
Yeah, yeah. He was sending pictures back and forth, and they enjoyed. They played the old course and North Berwick, and he was playing with North Berwick with his dad and his son, which was a really cool trip for them.
The winning prize in the White Eagle member guest was a trip for four to Ireland to play all the best courses, and we lost by two.
Oh, no.
Oh. Yeah.
You ought to get to play one.
Yeah.
Recount.
I'm not bitter at all. At 6:54, we continue talking about the heat in a very humid week to come. What is the difference between heat stroke and heat exhaustion?
Yeah, we've all had a portion or a spectrum of heat exhaustion. So heat exhaustion, you know, that's when you've been out in a while and you get a little thirsty, you feel a little weak, you get a little headache, you're a little nauseated, you're just kind of on the edge there. And that's just, you know, the body is still trying to catch up and is still trying to cool itself down. So you're sweating and you're just caught a little bit. Sometimes you get a little bit behind in your fluids, and you know that's going to make you feel a little bit weak and nauseated. Definitely something that can be treated by the individual themselves, by people around them, and not a true emergency for the most part. Heat stroke, exactly the farthest of that spectrum there. That's when the body essentially stops its cooling system from working and you stop sweating, and now that core body temperature starts to go up very dramatically, life-threatening, and something that really needs to be taken care of in an emergency room setting, not something that you want to try to manage in the field or in your home.
Doc, how about when you're swimming? A lot of pool parties going on now. I know I've heard people say, oh, well, you know, I'm going in the pool. I'll have a cocktail or a beer, whatever, but I'm going to go in the pool and cool off.
Yeah. And you know what? That's not a bad idea. The pools are usually pretty much cooler and at least will allow your body to lose a lot of core body temperature while you're in the pool. So it's not bad as long as that person's not weak and nauseated and drinking excessively where they're going to be in harm from being in the pool. The other thing is concerning is that those individuals that are at that point where they start to get muscle cramps, it's one place you probably don't want to be is swimming in a pool when you start to get muscle cramps.
It's so definitely going to hurt your swimming.
It'll definitely hurt your speed. Yeah, your times will be way off. You can definitely be injured there.
All right, now there's a between state as well, between heat exhaustion and heat stroke, and I think that's what you were in when you and I played golf a few years ago at the BMW, and you had to leave the course. And we had to ice you down, but you stopped it before you got to the heat stroke, right?
Really well, because you were said while we were playing golf.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I was playing golf.
When I say we, I mean those of us who didn't have caddy. There weren't caddying. You were caddying at that point.
Yes, as I remember, my brother and I were caddying for you and Chris Smith.
And it was crazy hot.
Yeah.
But you had not reached the heat stroke, get him in an ambulance state, but you were on the way.
Correct, I was. I was probably, you know, transitioning towards that. I was still sweating. I was still cooling down, but I was definitely lightheaded. I was definitely nauseated, definitely not feeling well. And fortunately, had, you know, the great guys from Western Golf there to take care of me and got me back. Actually, I was probably joined you guys back in about five or six holes. So
it was pretty amazing. Yeah, and when you think about it, not just because Doc's in good shape, because he is, but when you think about it, if it can happen to Dr. Kevin Most, it can happen to anybody. And it comes up quick, and you're not the best person to make decisions for yourself once you get into that position, especially if you're a dopey guy. So what should your friends be looking for to realize you're in trouble?
Yeah, you know, and one of the things that you said there is, you know, we want to make sure that we are prepared for things. So making sure that you, you know, take a big bottle of Gatorade or a big bottle of water before you start. That day was one of those days where we're running around doing things. Next thing you know, you're on the first tee and you're like, wow, my tank's half empty already.
Right.
And now I'm going into this environment. But what you really want to start watching people is, are they making bad decisions? Are they doing things? Do they look a little bit weak? You know, those are the individuals that you want to make sure you get them into a cool environment and start to get those fluids back into them. Because it's usually in those cases, it's going to be that combination of dehydration where the body's not working well.
We will post the notes, as always, the incredible notes that Dr. Most does every week, including a top 12 list of things to keep an eye on. But remind people before I let you go one more time about rotating water in Gatorade.
Yeah, and, you know, some people disagree with me, but I think it's a good idea. You know, one thing is every half hour you should be taking at least 8 ounces of fluid, and you should also make sure that you're urinating. If you're not, the body's telling you I don't have enough. But I'm a big advocate of rotating the two, and the reason being is that water does not have glucose and electrolytes in it, and when we sweat, you've tasted your sweat, you know how salty it is, you're losing a lot of electrolytes. So that altering, every other bottle of water and Gatorade allows you to get that glucose into you and then also keeps your electrolytes in balance.
Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine. Thanks, as always. Enjoy your day.
You got it. We'll talk to you soon.
See you later. Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better.